This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with hosts Tyler Gunther, Joe Pano, and Doug Eddy to bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Tyler, Joe, and Doug for another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It is officially week one. Most of the games are in the books, and we are here to take you to every single game that happened on Sunday. Even the Giants-Cowboys, which is still currently going on at the moment. We're going to give you some observations from that game as well. Lots of injuries this week. It's pretty crazy. But first, I just want to say hi to my co-hosts, Tyler and Joe. How you doing, Joe? Joe, how's it going tonight?
Oh, it's going good. Feeling great. We got some football back again. It's not just preseason where we're rooting for these random white receivers to make the roster. We're back with full-blown week one NFL.
It is amazing. Tyler, how are things going up in Minnesota?
It's going good. Weird week. You know, week one is always kind of that, oh, what happened? You're trying to overthink it, overanalyze, and you just got to remember to hold tight. You know, remember the players, remember why they're up top. We have a lot to go over, so let's get rolling.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. We are going to start with the 1 o'clock games and kind of go in order as they occurred. So we're going to give you just some observations from the game that we saw, you know, looking at some of the game film. You know, we obviously haven't been able to watch the games in their entirety yet, but some of the things that we observed for watching what we could. So we're going to start with Detroit versus Arizona. So everyone's fears of Carson Palmer going East Coast in a 1 o'clock game were kind of confirmed in this one, as he wasn't very good today. So Detroit actually won this one 35-23. The Lions roared back in the fourth quarter, which is kind of their MO with Matthew Stafford. The big news in this one was David Johnson. He missed a series, I think it was right before the second half, where it looks like he got the wind knocked out of him. Carson Palmer threw an absolute hospital ball in between three defenders, and DJ came down with it, and then he missed a few plays as he was on the sideline. But later in the fourth quarter, he severely injured his wrist, and there's some early reports saying that he could miss as little as a few weeks, or based on what the MRI says, he could miss half the season. This is my consensus number one guy. So the blows are early and often here in fantasy football. So I guess if you have David Johnson, what's the backup play, Tyler? Who's the guy behind the guy?
I would have to say Kerwin Williams. Okay. And no, I did not say Sherwin Williams because that is a paint store. But no, Kerwin Williams would be a guy that you would probably go pick up. But even then, the way this offense looked, I don't know if you'd feel comfortable enough actually starting him. David Johnson, you really hope it's only 2 weeks because he is the motor of this offense. It was obvious in this game.
Yeah, I mean,
Carson Palmer is the broken head gasket in your motor that's trying to completely blow your engine.
There's just smoke everywhere.
Yeah, he looks done. Ugh.
Yeah, I think
one of many older quarterbacks that looks like they're ready to get shipped.
It was a rough week for those senior quarterbacks. But the thing with David Johnson, so he didn't do really much on the ground, and I was concerned with Arizona's running game. They lost DJ Humphries in this one of their starting offensive linemen. He got carted off, and they were already thin at the line position anyway. So DJ didn't really do much on the ground, but he did have 6 for 68 through the air, and he only had 11 for 23 on the ground. And even when he left, Kerwin Williams only averaged 2 yards a carry. So I think if DJ's out, Kerwin Williams might get a volume play, and he's probably available in a lot of leagues. But to me, it's going to be an ugly situation regardless. So let's talk a little bit about the Detroit side because they won the game. Our preseason favorite receiver, well, maybe not ours, but it seems all of Twitter, Kenny Golladay came through with four receptions for 69 yards, 2 touchdowns on 7 targets. He had the second most targets on the team after Golden Tate this week. So Kenny Golladay, if you're in Dynasty, are you trying to buy or are you trying to sell early in the season? What's the reaction look like?
You know my take. No surprise. There's no surprise that I've been buying Kenny Golladay, even though I was a little criticized for that. But hey, I'm still buying.
Okay.
Yeah, with me, it's if you have him, I would try to ship him if you actually have depth, because he looks like a guy you could probably slot in at your wide receiver three. But just if you are needy at running back, it could be a good opportunity to go buy one of these running backs that fell on their face. It happened a lot this weekend. He would be a good guy to go out there and throw out. I mean, do you have faith in putting out Kenny Golladay every week? I don't think you would.
Not yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Not quite yet.
A good point. It really depends on where you're at, your roster, like what you're trying to do for the season and stuff. Like, his long-term outlook is huge. I think you make a good point though. You got to look at where you're at.
Yeah. And with this game, start your studs and don't do what I did. I sat Golden Tate in a PPR league because of the Patrick Peterson matchup. I put in none other but Jameson Crowder for Ouch. Golden Tate. Yeah, we'll get to Crowder later. But yeah, start your studs. Go with the lineup that looks good. You know,
that's great advice. Go with your best looking lineup.
Yes, and I did not. I
overthought it. That wasn't too bad of a decision, I don't think. I mean, it didn't work out.
But yeah, Crowder kind of. We'll get to Crowder in the next game. But yeah, I mean, Golden Tate, I think, is one of the more reliable in a PPR league. So yeah, you know what? It's week one. You live and you learn.
Yeah, and I think
usually Jameson Crowder is, though. I mean, you can't be too hard on yourself for that. They're both. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a great matchup too. So I don't think that was a bad decision.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. It's all about the process.
Yes. So I did want to make just a quick notation on the Detroit running game, which for fantasy purposes, I've tried to avoid for the longest time because I'm not an Ameer Abdullah guy. He went 15 for 30 on the ground. Didn't look very good at all. I know Arizona's run defense is pretty good. But I did make a notation because Dwayne Washington, I owned him in a few leagues last year, and he looked a little bit slimmer and a little bit quicker. He had 6 carries for 22, but it looks like he was the goal line guy because double Z, Zach Zenner, ZZ Top was inactive today. So
yeah, late scratch.
Yeah, that's a name to keep an eye on with Dwayne Washington. He did look a lot slimmer and a lot faster than he did last season. So just put that in your memory bank and space bank it for another time, because he may be fantasy relevant.
What was
that? Space bank it. I didn't say what do you think I said, like spank bank?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You have the mind of a child. All right.
I do. So
hey, let's move.
Let's carry on to the next game, which was the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Washington Redskins. Eagles won this one 30-17. And I got to say, Washington's offense
crap.
It looked like total ass in this one. So, Joe, you're a Washington fan. What's your analysis of this game? What did you see? And, what are some of the things that really disturbed you? Oh,
freaking god awful. Like, first of all, you know, you can tell McVay is hurting us, like just him not being there to kind of scheme open stuff. Plus DeSean Jackson, I think everybody kind of really, just misunderstood how much value DeSean Jackson would have to that offense and giving space to Jameson Crowder, giving space to everybody else in the offense. It looks really bad right now. So I don't know. It didn't look too good. Their offensive line is usually pretty good, but Kirk was getting rushed a lot too. So Didn't look too good. Did not look sharp.
Tyler, what do you got from this game?
Yeah, without a running game, you can't really do the play action that well. I mean, Rob Kelly went 10 for 30. Thompson went 3 for 4, and they didn't even give P. Ryan a dang carry.
No, I saw that, and I was upset.
Quite surprising. I mean, you didn't really see much from Josh Doctson, but that is – you should have been able to see that coming, because he didn't really play much in the preseason, needs a little more time to get in the rhythm. But like we said, Jameson Crowder, maybe the hip injury was a little worse than we thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they tried to force feed Jordan Reed in the middle, but I just didn't get the Crowder usage. Ryan Grant got, better targets. And
yeah, he had 6 targets and he went 4 for 61. And that's so Ryan Grant, I used to live in Virginia, and all in the local radio in that area, the Washington Redskins love Ryan Grant. I'm just putting
that. Oh, they love him. Yeah.
They absolutely love that kid.
Every offseason, all you hear is
not sure why, but yes, they do.
Yeah, he's got the best. Apparently, he's got the best routes, the best hands.
Yeah,
and he's the best guy to watch your kids.
I'm gonna tell you, man, you nailed it, Tyler, right there. It's watching the kids. It's like, you know, he's got to have something that he does for them. But no, honestly, like he's a decent route runner. He's got decent hands, but every time like they talk him up, he ends up like dropping passes and stuff. So I don't know. He's decent.
Yeah, he's still only my second favorite Ryan Grant to ever play NFL football. For you old school people out there, the old Packers running back.
Oh, I remember him. No, absolutely. I think we're also overlooking the McVay factor. McVay looks to have done very well in Los Angeles. We'll get to that. But there's something missing from the Washington team, and we'll have to see if they can figure that out.
Yeah, so I got an observation just on the Philadelphia side of the ball. I mean, Zach Ertz was the chalk play, as Joe knows, for people this week.
For good reason.
And he got loaded with targets. He went 8 for 93 on 8 targets. Washington, you can destroy Washington with the tight end. And Ertz, throughout his career, always plays well against them. So I think Ertz is going to have a great season this year. But the big surprise, I guess, for most people is going to be Nelson Agholor. 6 for 86 and a touchdown on a busted play. I mean, it is what it is. It still counts, obviously.
But he caught it.
Any play that he makes, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and he had 8 targets. He had more targets than Alshon, which could have been the part of the Josh Norman factor too. Oh, yeah. But one of the big observations from this one, so Philadelphia is another backfield that I don't really want anything to do with in Dynasty or in redraft. 24 rushes for 58 yards. And LeGarrette Blount looked washed. Wendell Smallwood didn't do anything. So
Corey Clement is waiting in the wings.
Yes, for you deep stash leagues.
Oh, it's Corey Clement is ugly. Boy. You're right, Doug. It's ugly. It's ugly. But hey, Carson Wentz, he hung in tough in the pocket. You know,
it was a rough day for me. I mean, it was a long day. I mean, I got rushed. The offensive line, you know, they did their best. My boy Zach, he was in the middle a lot. He was my, you know, blanket.
You got a cannon. My comfort blanket. That arm, man. You could launch that.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. You know, I've always been told I've got a big arm, great intangibles, but you know, I just do the best I can.
You can't teach red hair. You just can't.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, ask Andy Dalton. You can't teach that.
No. So let's move on to the next game on the slate, and that's the Atlanta Falcons, the defending NFC champion Falcons, on the road in Chicago against an underrated defense. They won 23-17, but it was interesting late. So we're going to go to Tyler in this one. But before we do, I just want to cover an injury that happened in this one. And to no surprise, Kevin White broke his collarbone. He is out for the year, 3 years in a row. So his rookie year will happen in 2018.
Dude, he's
possibly.
If he has one.
What a shame. Kevin White is just an absolutely bundled talent. They lost Cameron Meredith to an ACL. Now they've lost Kevin White. I guess it's all the Kendall Wright shares, apparently.
Deontay Thompson.
I like Deontay Thompson. Bill Bellamy.
Yeah, Bellamy and joystick. Who's it? Gentry? He could get called up.
Cohen's they have Trey McBride on their practice squad, too.
Trey McBride.
Tariq Cohen's their receiver number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tyler, hit me up with your observations from this one after the Kevin White injury.
Well, Kevin White didn't really do too much. It was
worthless.
Yeah, we'll go to the Chicago side. I'll do that first. Tariq Cohen was their offense. Jordan Howard, I was shocked with the usage they gave him because he looked better than what I actually expected. Atlanta, I thought, was keying in on him because it's obvious with Jordan Howard. When he's in, they're looking to run. It was really obvious. And he still produced. He had a couple good runs. And he got a touchdown, saved your day. And he looked decent in the pass game. He could have had a second touchdown. But he turned and looked at Alford because Alford was screaming.
He dropped it.
Yeah, he dropped it. He looked at Alford before he even caught it. He looked okay. And Cohen looked great. I was telling these guys before we even started, Cohen and Pumphrey were getting these Darren Sproles-like comps. Cohen, well-deserved. This guy, if you watch his tape from this game, if you listen to us and like, I want to go watch it, he looks every bit of Darren Sproles. If people talk about Kareem Hunt's balance, you can't tackle Cohen. You need to really grab onto him, tackle him low, and trip him because he is impossible to tackle, it seems. I mean, the only tackle that really got him was my boy Keanu Neal screaming into the middle of the field and just smoked him.
Yeah,
I loved it. My son was actually watching the game with me, my 6-month son, and was screaming when the Bears scored. It was quite funny. Literally, the Bears scored, and all of a sudden, all you hear is my son screaming.
You've trained
like
him
he's
well.
Upset. Like he's upset. He's throwing his arm down on his leg. It was fantastic.
That's what awesome. Do you got? So what do you got from the Falcon side of the ball?
The Falcon side, it was ugly at first. I was nervous. Devonta Freeman, he looked like he was getting more of the third down work. It was weird how they used the running backs. And I thought Freeman should have got more carries, but it was 12 carries to 8 split between the two. Freeman did look better. Coleman looks like he's just trying to get around the corner and burn him with speed.
Mm-hmm. That's his MO, really.
Yeah. But with Coleman, he had 4 catches for 42 off 6 targets. Freeman only had 2 targets. I expect that number to go up. They paid him money to be the guy. I expect them to change it because their game plan was not good. And then they caught fire towards the second half. Well, Austin Hooper caught fire.
Hooper?
He had...
Hanging with Mr. Hooper.
He had a stiff arm that threw down that safety into Hades. I mean, they're still looking for him. There's milk cartons everywhere. You can't find him. It was great to see Hooper. He had 2 targets, but caught both for 128 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown was a broken play, but that stiff arm.
He looked like a young dad runner. I got to be honest.
You think so?
It was kind of slow. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, he's still scored. I get it, but it was like
I like Hooper. I think he could be Zach Ertz if they gave him the ball more. I could see that. And, you know, Julio had his. He had 4 for 66 off 5 targets. I mean, I thought they were going to use him more in the red zone, which was a shocker to me. I thought they were going to use
him more just in general, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that Bears defense, you know, they're the shutdown defense.
I mean, they're linebacker. I thought it was a tough matchup for Hooper just with, like, you know, Freeman. And they have some good coverage linebackers for Chicago, but so maybe it wasn't a huge part of the game plan this week. I'm not sure, but I think it'll.
I expect Hooper to keep getting more targets. And with a game like today, he has to. They have to be like, okay, you deserved it. We're going to get you more targets. But yeah, Atlanta pull it to victory. I was sweating for a little bit when they're on the goal line, but good old Brooks Reed comes in and saves the day.
Former Texan flying in with that sack. Mike Glennon didn't actually look that bad, which was kind of surprising.
No, he looked good.
So we're going to move on to the Jacksonville or the Saxonville Jaguars versus the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the more surprising games of the week. So it ended up Jacksonville 29 to a lonely 7 from Houston. And the big news in this one, the big fantasy ripples in this game was Allen Robinson early in the game. He had one catch for 17 yards. He was targeted, had a bad knee injury, and it has been confirmed that he tore his ACL and he is going to miss the 2017 season. On a contract year. We were talking earlier, and Tyler doesn't think he comes back to Jacksonville, which I think he's probably accurate because I don't think it's what they want to do there. They showed their hand, and we'll get to Joe here in a second who's going to talk about this game. But I think that they'll probably move on from A-Rob and he'll find a home somewhere else. So that'll be a situation to keep an eye out on. There's a lot of really good free agent receivers in this class coming up next year. So Joe, you watched a bit of this game. Talk to me. What did you see?
Well, like you hit it on the head, man. Saxonville is right.
Saxonville?
Saxonville. The Saxonville Jaguars.
Hold on.
Tyler's got some... Hey, what you're hearing right now is the smooth sounds of that
piece of Yannick
franchise record of 10 sacks from the Calais Campbell Jaguars.
That's the first song that came to my head when you said Saxonville. I'm like, what?
Got me in the mood to talk about the Jaguars. No, man, the Jaguars just put it to him. It was kind of crazy because you know, Calais Campbell comes in, has 4 sacks. They have 10 sacks total. Just totally dominating the line of scrimmage. And the Texans actually have supposed to have like the ferocious pass rush, you know, with just the Clowney and Watt and everything like that they've got going on. They didn't have a single sack on Bortles, and
crazy
throw a pick. So it was like this miracle, because that's only the second time that's ever happened in a game for Blake Bortles. So it's kind of a big deal, but yeah, the Jaguars had 10 sacks. It was just insane. I don't know. That was just my biggest takeaway, was just how much they dominated this game. Fournette played really well against a stout run defense. He had 26 carries for 100 yards and a touchdown. He did add in 3 catches for 24 yards for all of those that don't think he can catch. It's definitely a false statement. They did pretty good. I mean, besides Bortles, not, you know, he didn't really do anything fancy, but
he didn't blow it. He
didn't blow it, we talked about this earlier. He happened to just tap A-Rob on his bad knee that he just injured.
What an asshole.
Idiot. I wanted to punch him in the balls. Can I say that on the radio?
Yeah. No, and if we're looking for a tight end for Jacksonville, because, you know, a quarterback's best friend is tight end, O'Shag Hennessy claimed off of
former Patriots.
O'Shag Hennessy.
Oh my goodness.
It was good. Yeah. So
there was an Alan Hearn sighting. He was the leading pass catcher for the Jaguars, just so you know.
He left.
Marquise Lee didn't catch a ball in this one, which is surprising. So some of the things that, Blake Bortles, here's the transition that the Jacksonville Jaguars offense, and everyone was speculating this is what was going to happen. They're going to be a run heavy team. They were. Blake Bortles is going to be a game manager. He was. Jacksonville's going to play really good defense. They did. So all the things that we thought coming into the season kind of played out in front of our eyes. Bortles, 11 of 21, 125 and a touchdown, but like you said, no picks. Clearly to me, this is the identity of this team. So for me, with Leonard Fournette's injury history, I would probably try and roster Chris Ivory. Does that sound weird?
No, but I mean, if it's in redraft, no. I went in redraft.
No, I'm just saying if you have him in Dynasty, you can get Ivory for nothing.
Yeah, but do you want to waste a roster spot like that?
But here's the thing. So Jacksonville, if they're going to run the ball 35 times a game and Leonard Fournette's not there, it's going to be Ivory and TJ Yeldon, who wasn't even active. And maybe a mix of Corey Grant would be an interesting name to have.
Yeldon was hurt, by the way.
I'd love to see Corey Grant out of the preseason. We saw it at the end of last year, and he played very well. Very fast guy. Get him the ball if Fournette gets hurt. Let's hope Fournette doesn't get hurt, because we hate seeing injuries. But yeah,
we've already had enough of them. Good grief.
Yeah, and I watched a good part of this one in Houston. Tom Savage got benched at halftime, and he was goddamn terrible. Nicholas Cage,
The only good Savage is Savage Garden. Oh, easy.
That's not even a good.
What about Savage Dragon for you comic book fans?
No, I'd say Randy Savage takes the cake.
Oh well, that's the lead. That's the 10.
Ooh, that's the cheat code, man.
Yeah, that's
the Texans, man. They're a confusing team right now. Like they really like have a lot of talent, but it just doesn't. I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like it's gonna line up this year. It's gonna be really tough for them to. I mean, good God, they gave up 10 sacks.
Yeah, and Dwayne Brown's on holdout, and if they can get there, he's gonna get paid now. Like they have to pay him. He's probably sitting at home cracking his knuckles. He's like, oh yes, I'm getting paid.
They're gonna call me tonight.
Yeah, he's definitely getting paid. And I mean, you saw Hopkins get a ton of targets.
16 targets led the NFL so far.
Do you think Bill O'Brien looked at Deshaun Watson and was like, throw it to number 10. That's all you need to do.
He was the only wide receiver to have a reception in the game.
God, that's ridiculous.
Yep.
Wait till Will Fuller comes back.
Yeah.
Don't let me down.
And here's a surprise. Bruce Ellington got hurt. But anyway, let's move on. We're going to go to the stink bowl of the day. This game was really rough to watch. It was the Buffalo Bills at home against the New York Jets. They won this one 21-12. We do have some injury news in this one as well. LeSean McCoy in the fourth quarter went out with a wrist injury. He looked like he was in a lot of pain. He did eventually come back. The thing with McCoy is that he does miss time in games. So that's obviously a situation to monitor. So we've had an injury to David Johnson, which he could miss some time. LeSean McCoy's already dinged up in week one. Could it be the running back apocalypse in 2017? I sure as hell hope not. The only observations I had from this one, it was a pretty ugly game. I was really disappointed that Zay Jones only got 4 targets, 1 for 21, operating as the wide receiver 1 for that team. I'm not overly surprised that Charles Clay was Tyrod Taylor's go-to guy because he was at the end of last season too. He ended up with a touchdown. He had 9 targets, 53 yards, which was good to see. McCoy had a total of 159 yards from scrimmage. He didn't score a touchdown because Fat Mike came in and got a touchdown from him. That little bowling ball bastard. Stole McCoy's touchdown.
You knew that was going to happen, though. You just absolutely knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, I knew it was. And then on the Jets side of the ball, it was ugly. Bilal Powell and Forte, they didn't run the ball that often. They didn't even catch many passes. It was ugly, to be quite honest. Jermaine Kearse led the team with 9 targets, the new addition, and he went 7 for 59. Let's just move on to the next game. How does that sound?
We have some crappy teams in New York right now. I can tell you that.
Jordan Matthews had 2 for 61. He had a long ball. Yeah. If he can get healthy or fight through this pain, which I mean, Jordan Matthews seems like one of those guys that may act tough, but are you?
Tyler, you seem like a guy like that.
I'm sitting here on a chair talking about football, and I'm actually asking a football player if they're tough. So
no, he's got a Fighting Irish sweatshirt on, so he maybe wants to scrap, eh? Come on, let's scrap, eh?
Oh, God, they looked bad this weekend, too.
All right. Let's move on to what was supposed to be a high-scoring game. It had Vegas's highest point total at 51. And that was Oakland versus Tennessee. Oakland won this one 26-16. Some interesting stuff in this one. So, Joe, you watched a bit of this game. So, why don't you tell me what you saw in Oakland versus Tennessee?
Yeah, so there's a few takeaways. I thought initially Lynch looked really good. He looked, you know, quick. He looked pretty spry. Cooper came in pretty strong with this. Amari looked pretty good, but he did botch a couple catches at the goal line.
Like 3 in a row.
3 in a row.
Yeah, 3 in a row. And as much as that's frustrating for, you know, fantasy owners, I thought it was just insane that they didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. And like Tyler, you mentioned earlier, he's used to that, and that would piss me off if I was Marshawn Lynch. You don't bring in Marshawn Lynch like they did in Seattle and not give him the rock at the goal line. What are you doing? Like 3 different times in a row, they didn't give him the ball. That would piss me off. If I was Marshawn Lynch, I would just be all over that in the locker room.
What if Marshawn's fault, though? Like, what if he was, like, munching on some Skittles on the sideline and coach is, like, yelling, Marshawn, get in. And he's just like, oh, I love Skittles.
That's something I didn't consider, so that's a fair point. There could have been some Skittles interference earlier, you know, so we'll have to go back and look at it.
You got to put everything.
That's Skittles.
You're right. You're right.
You got to put everything into perspective.
Thank you, Tyler. That is what I'm talking about. That's why we give you next level analysis, and Tyler kind of keeps me in line. I'll go back and check on that. We'll have.
God, that's so bad.
So,
anything else from this game, Joe?
Let's see. Other than that, Crabtree looked pretty good. Jared Cook is definitely an added piece to the offense, which looked, just gave him another dynamic.
Clive Mulford.
Yeah, you know, that's something that was missing. It was just basically Cooper and Crabtree and stuff like that. So I think there's a good core on their offense for sure, that they have to work with. So I'm pretty pleased with that. On the Rishard Matthews looked pretty good. I think that he had a good statement game. He made some great contested catches. Even Corey Davis, he made a really nice contested catch on the sideline.
Led the team in targets with 10
targets. That is what caught my eye. It shows that they want to use him. They want to get him involved. Who cares that you didn't play preseason? You're coming in. You are our guy. You're going to get the targets. It's almost like they brought him in as a free agent and they gave him like an incentive deal. Like, we will give you tons of targets if you come to us.
Yeah. You know, that was impressive for sure. I'm with you. But yeah, it wasn't anything crazy exciting other than that I saw early on, but, definitely something to build on, I think, for both teams.
Yeah, I like that Taywan Taylor had a couple catches in this one.
Yeah, in the run game, look for them to get more carries. It was, you know, DeMarco had 12, Derrick Henry had 6. It should stay like that, but I do think Henry will start getting more and more each game. DeMarco, I'm surprised he didn't show more in this game. It was probably just usage. They might have gotten down early. I didn't watch too much of it, but from what I saw, you didn't really see much of it. It was more, ooh, look at Corey Davis. Ooh, look at Amari Cooper drop it.
Yeah, I think it must have been their game plan, because I really do think they should have hammered DeMarco a lot more. So that was kind of, you know, disappointing, I guess, from the Tennessee side, especially because I was kind of banking on Murray putting up a pretty good game. But yeah, so we'll see how that turns out. But I think they definitely need to get the ball. They need to run the ball more to kind of open up the passing game.
Yeah, it's their game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. So let's move on to kind of the shocker special of the day. It was Baltimore scoring 20 points and Cincinnati scoring 20-0 in this one. From an injury standpoint, we had Danny Woodhead go down I believe it was the early second quarter. He was getting a pretty good amount of usage. He had 3 catches for 33 yards at that point, and they gave him a few carries. And then he went down non-contact, grabbing the hamstring that he had been dealing with during the preseason that he had issues. So yeah, Danny Woodhead came out, and enter my boy, superhero cape on, Buck Allen came in to get 21 carries in this one for 71 yards against the Cincinnati defense. It's actually not too bad, but their offense looked like complete turd today.
They had an offense?
According to ESPN, no, they didn't. if you look at research stats, there's nothing there for their offense.
Yeah, I mean, Dalton went 16 for 31. 170 yards, 4 interceptions, and I swear 3 of them were in the first quarter, maybe even into the second. I can't remember, but I know it was some crazy stat that he had almost 3 picks early in the game. AJ Green was fine with 5 for 74. Mm-hmm. Gio showed up 7 for 40, and he had a catch for 39 yards. I mean, this whole entire running group, you had 7 from Gio, 6 from Jeremy Hill, 8 from Joe Mixon. Oh, what is it? Like, they need to figure that out before anything.
They need it. Really, I think it's the line play in this one was awful.
Well, that was figured. It figured they had a bad line.
Everyone was like, oh, they have a bad line. Well, let's see if they can work it out. Yeah, they haven't worked it out yet. It was bad.
You hit it on the head. I mean, this has been the offseason question. If you were into like all the weapons that Cincinnati had, you were kind of like thinking that they would just be able to work it out with like a quick hitting offense or something like that, you know, to kind of like mask how bad this offensive line is. But they couldn't even do it against Baltimore, who has it doesn't really have like this really aggressive like pass rush. I mean, Suggs is back, but they let him get sacked 5 times.
Their defense looked good.
Yeah,
and Baltimore does have a good defense and much improved, but all I'm saying is they're not known to be like this crazy strong pass rush. So that's just going to get worse if you're playing like Jacksonville or something like that, you know,
Saxonville.
Or a team. Excuse me, Saxonville. I apologize. We just need that cue, you know, every time we talk about the Jaguars. But yeah, so that's a big concern moving forward. They're going to have to get a quick hitting passing game going and definitely play Mixon, you know?
Yeah, and I would say if you're out there and you're looking for players to kind of lowball people on, I'm sending offers for Joe Mixon because everyone's going to be panicked that he had 8 carries for 9 yards and, oh my God, this team's so bad. So Tyler, you think that's a good move, trying to buy Joe Mixon on the low?
Yeah, I love that move. I think you should. Joe Mixon is going to be the starter, and I think sooner than later. I think Gio will still get his. Jeremy Hill, from what I saw, did not look good. Like, he had a big run for big.
The first carry of the game was 12 yards, and then after that it was pedestrian Jeremy Hill again.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Mixon went 8 for 9, yes. But I think the defense expected that. You know, Joe Mixon's in. They want something flashy. The offense isn't showing well. I feel like they saw that. And I mean,
the Ravens have a stout run defense.
Yeah. And Tyler Eifert, 1 for 4. But the Ravens' safeties are probably the 2 best in the league with Tony Jefferson and Eric Weddle. Yeah. So that was expected. CJ Mosley is a great linebacker as well. So, yeah, I mean, they need something. The offense does. Or Andy Dalton, I've got to say it, his job could actually be in jeopardy this year.
Ooh, AJ McCarron incoming.
So many bad quarterbacks.
Yeah. So I'm going
to throw... I just want to say one more thing. Sure. Somebody, I forgot who it was, stated there are like 6 billion people in this world and we can only find like 13 or 14 good quarterbacks in the NFL. It's ridiculous. Like, come on.
That's what makes you appreciate the great ones even more, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even some of the great ones are dwindling.
Yes, they are. So let's go. Let's talk about the next game. And Tyler, I'll go to you on this one because I know you're going to have a mangasm with this game. And it was the Pittsburgh Steelers 21 versus the Cleveland Browns 18, a game a lot closer than a lot of people projected it to be. So, Tyler, talk to me about DeShone Kizer. What'd you see? What'd you love? What didn't you like?
I saw a guy who looked way more poised than I thought. The Steelers' defense was talked about constantly about how they've upgraded, how it's better. I mean, Ryan Shazier looked fantastic. He looked vicious in the middle of the field for the Steelers. But Kizer, he stood in there. I mean, he took some dumb hits. I will say, Kizer, when you run, slide. It's okay.
It was RG3-esque on some of those. I was holding my breath because he dove like head first and got drilled by two defenders. It was bad.
And there was a lot of time that he could have had to slide, but he was like, nah, I'm 21 years old. Screw it.
Yeah.
And that's going to get him hurt. But I thought he played very well. I thought he played well for a rookie. He had a gun of a pass to Corey Coleman for a touchdown. Corey Coleman got smoked.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, man. I thought that was going to be trouble for Coleman. Yeah, but that's nice to see.
It's a good connection with Coleman.
Yeah, it's nice to see that they have a very good connection. And Isaiah Crowell, everybody's offseason fanboy, went 17 for 33. But I do have to say, Steelers' run defense looks very good. Their linebackers are very good.
And took a little bit of a hit. It sounds like Tua
Notre Dame guy.
Tore a tricep, yeah.
Yeah.
Notre Dame guy. I loved him in Notre Dame. But yeah, that's bad to see. And Matthew Days, a name to keep an eye on for Dynasty, he got 3 carries and Duke Johnson got none. That was very shocking to me, which shows maybe Duke Johnson is more of a receiver than we actually think. And Days will be the backup to Crowell if Crowell gets hurt.
Yep.
So that is something to kind of keep your eyes on. I picked up Days in some deep leagues this offseason because he showed well in the Senior Bowl. And also Seth DeValve, 4 for 42. He looks to be the main pass catching tight end until Njoku kind of gets his head on straight. Now, I think everybody with the Steelers is, what the heck, Le'Veon Bell?
should have reported in training camp, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, we all knew he was going to be a little slower, but against the Browns defense, which looked pretty good for the Browns defense. Wait till they get Myles Garrett. Mm. But yeah, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, he did not look good. I watched a little bit of replay on this and he looked off. He looked like he wasn't really trying.
Yeah, he was busy, thinking about rhymes, and dropping some hot
probably.
Tracks.
Probably. I swear I saw a notepad that he had out.
Dropping those hydroponic rhymes.
He was probably like, Browns, third downs.
let's turn those smiles to frowns.
Oh man, he was bad. He was dog bad. But Antonio Brown was legit. He took over, that's for sure.
Antonio Brown
outshined Brian on his return.
I was watching the game with my cousin Christopher, and I said Antonio Brown is the warmest, nicest fantasy blanket that you can own. You just wrap yourself in it, and it's so comfy.
It's a blanket that, like, you're like, oh, God, a running back got hurt. And all of a sudden, you see another layer come over you. You're just like, oh, thank you.
Oh, Antonio, thank you. it's crazy to me. I know everyone, especially in redraft leagues, they go DJ, Bell, and Antonio gets picked somewhere. But, I mean, he is just the safest from a volume standpoint, performance. He's just, he's amazing.
Don't jinx him now. You're starting to make me nervous. Don't jinx
him. You're
over
here talking about injuries. You're more like a wet blanket, Doug.
All right, moving on. Well, Martavis did have a disappointing game. He didn't even get the start. Juju Smith-Schuster got the start over Martavis.
Maybe it's like a, hey, you do this again?
Probably, yeah. Like, we're going to start the rookie in front of you. Stay humble. Get your ass out there, alien, and do nothing.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait till next week. I thought he was going to blow up against a Brown secondary, but maybe he's got a little rusty too. It's going to take a little bit of time.
Maybe he's the home road split guy. Maybe he's the guy that suffers in that home road split. So maybe he could be a guy that, like, oh, they're at home. Let's fire him up. But, oh, he's away. Let's let the blanket do the work.
Yeah. The blanket does work either way, which is good. So
why do I imagine this really thick, heated blanket?
Yeah, you can go to JCPenney and probably get one on sale right now up in Minnesota.
Not Antonio Brown. You can't get him on sale.
No, he is very expensive. That is true. All right, so let's move on to the Los Angeles Rams taking the Indianapolis Colts to the woodshed 46-9. That LA defense looked great under Wade Phillips.
McVay for president.
Their offense, oh man, their offense looked pretty good. I've been saying Jared Goff could be a serviceable, decent NFL quarterback. I know it's the Colts defense, but he looked pretty good today. But I think that the hot topic in this one in the dynasty circles is, what do you do with Todd Gurley? The box score looks good, but when you watch the tape, I'm kind of like, eh. So Tyler, you've had some conversations with some folks about Todd Gurley already. What's your strategy if you own Todd Gurley in dynasty? Are you selling? Are you holding? You're probably not buying.
It's so difficult. It's a very difficult decision because you all remember the rookie season, but then you go back further and you're like Trent Richardson. Trent Richardson haunts every running back, I think.
Because he looks more and more like Todd Gurley by the day.
You mean Todd Gurley looks more like Richardson?
Correct. Same thing. They look like each other.
Wait, what? They're this.
Exactly.
Is Richardson trying to fool us? And he's like,
he's trying to come back.
Yeah, as Todd Gurley, the second. I think we're putting things together right now, guys.
So I guess you answered your own question.
Crime scene investigation right here. We know where Richardson went. No, I honestly have to say, if I can trade him, I think I would. And I think the volume is nice. He's getting the passing work. That's always nice. I get all running backs this week, except, you know, the 101 Kareem Hunt. So except for him, I think we all kind of realize the running back position is meh week one. Yes. It will get better. Things will align. I mean, look at it this week. Tariq Cohen and Kareem Hunt were your 1-2. I get Zeke just went over 100. I mean, we'll talk about that a little bit, but
yeah.
Zeke is up there, but other than that, it's two rookie running backs we did not expect.
And McCoy, that's really like the only notables. Yeah,
but I hope Gurley can turn it around. But if you can get a Dalvin Cook plus, if you can get a Joe Mixon plus after this week, and if you can even do like a Leonard Fournette for him, would you guys do Fournette for Gurley?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think I would have done it yesterday.
Yeah. But you're asking me, so
a closet Jacksonville fan.
Well, I like Fournette and Jacksonville for their defense.
How about McCaffrey? Let's go McCaffrey. Would you do McCaffrey for Gurley?
Oh yeah. I would take McCaffrey.
Yeah. We'll talk about that game next, but I love his usage today.
Okay. Yeah, and it's interesting to talk about it because we all wanted him to get involved in the passing game, and it looks like they're doing everything possible. But it looks like Todd Gurley is doing everything possible to give us doubt about him. He looks slow. Doug and I talked about that. He does not look electric.
He doesn't look explosive.
No. I think it's mainly hesitation. I think he's gone so far into his head that it's going to take a lot for him to get out because it seems like he's looking for big plays. He's not looking for positive yardage. He's looking for that home run. He's stopping in the backfield, looking for a hole instead of just going forward. And that's what he needs to do. He's a big dude. And I love Todd Gurley. I want him to succeed. Everybody likes Todd Gurley. I like him better than Zeke in the aspect of I just want him to do good. And he scares me. And if I could get out for a good price, I would.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. So a player that not many people liked, only the few, showed up and had a good game, 4 for 76 and a touchdown, beat double coverage or split coverage for the touchdown from Goff was Cooper Kupp.
You hate Cooper Kupp? How do you hate Cooper Kupp?
I just don't. I watched his tape and I just didn't see anything that I really liked.
So if Antonio Brown's the warm blanket, can Cooper Kupp be like that old withered blanket?
He's like the ice bucket challenge to me. He's just cold ice water. Like I'm all set.
No, there's no way. Okay. Antonio Brown's the comforter. Cooper Kupp's at least got to be the first sheet.
Cooper Kupp is he's like my kid's blanket that never gets played with.
He's like going to the car lot and buying a used Honda Pilot. Like he's going to be efficient. He's going to be, he's going to be reliable.
Put a lot of mileage on him.
He's already kind of a little older.
Yeah, I feel like Joe's got a Honda Pilot.
Or two.
I don't actually. This is just off the cuff. I just, it's not sexy, but, he's
quotes.
Like, yeah. But I do buy a lot of used vehicles, so,
It's all good. So from the Colts side of the ball, the only thing that I had is notable because Scott Tolzien was so bad was they split carries between Frank Gore and Marlon Mack. And I know the stat sheet's going to say, Marlon Mack scored a touchdown. It was in deep garbage time and it was unopposed. Other than that, he didn't
have to. He had that 21-yard catch. Should have been a 22-yard catch.
Should have been a touchdown. He looked good on that play.
The Colts are literally doing Colts things and being like, we know it's a touchdown, but we don't want to win.
Yeah, they're just goddamn terrible. So let's move on to the next game.
No, I want to talk about a couple of things quick. Sammy Watkins went 5 for 58. I think he'll get more involved as the season goes. I like the usage. I mean, they're trying to feed him. He's a very good receiver. And I think this is his floor. I mean, you got 10 points out of him this week. Don't complain. Right. He's 2 weeks into a new team. And with Jacoby Brissett, who should be the starter next week, Dante Moncrief got a deep ball. And Brissett has a good deep ball. Moncrief could be a good flex play in the coming weeks, as in what the heck flex, kind of like what you hear.
I like that you're giving Colts fans a little something here because they looked horrible. I like it.
I am a huge Moncrief fan, so that's probably why I'm saying that. And for T.Y. Hilton, that could mean a lot. I mean, Jacoby Brissett gives the quarterback position a little more oomph because Scott Tolzien is terrible, terrible at football. So Jacoby Brissett should really be an upgrade and maybe give him a little life.
Interesting.
We shall see. So the next game is Carolina 23-3, blowout city against San Francisco. Just a couple observations from this one before we move on to the last couple games as we start to wrap up. Cam Newton, to me, looked like ass. Missing passes all over the field, high, low. I think that he's still working on that shoulder, so that's obviously a situation to monitor. He just did not look. He was under 50% completion rate. So, we talked about it that last year in 2016, he had the lowest completion percentage. So he was staying true to that in 2017. Christian McCaffrey, I love the usage. They gave him the ball 18 times. They targeted him 7 times in the passing game. He was on the field an absolute ton, even when Jonathan Stewart was on the field. So I love McCaffrey's usage. Do you guys have any comments on McCaffrey at all from what you saw?
I didn't think it was anything different than what we expected, but yeah, he looked good. I mean, definitely
now,
like
now Joe's being a wet blanket.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was kind of expected. He's going to be involved in the passing game and get a decent amount of carries. They had 31, between him and Stewart, they had 31 total carries, so maybe a little bit more than they usually will get.
I did have one more observation from this game. We got 2 more games we really want to wrap up. So George Kittle, 6 targets, 5 for 27. I love George Kittle. Yes, go George Kittle. And Garcon is the target monster we thought he was going to be. Not really a lot of dynasty value there because he is older. But Carlos Hyde looked really good, and he actually caught six passes in this one, which everyone's like, Carlos Hyde can't catch. It's not in his skill set. Okay, yeah, it obviously is. He caught all his targets. Shut up. That's all I'm going to tell you. I like Carlos Hyde this year and going forward. I'll be interesting to see if he re-signs with the Niners after this year. But a Shanahan back, much like an Andy Reid back, has a lot of value given opportunity, right, Joe? So
that's right.
Let's move on to Seattle versus Green Bay. Probably the most boring game to watch in the history of man.
It was rough.
17-9, Green Bay wins this one at home. Anybody got any observations on this one real quick?
Montgomery was getting stuffed in the run game, but they kept going to him, which was very promising.
His usage was good.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of opportunity in the pass catching game. Like Joe says, I agree with him on the opportunity, but I do think Montgomery is probably a little more talented than Kareem Hunt. And I think the offense is better. I mean, when you have Aaron Rodgers, if you throw Aaron Rodgers on KC, I mean, it's a different story. Even though Alex Smith looked like the Hall of Famer. Yeah. Montgomery, it showed promise. Devonta Adams, I thought, looked very well. I was nervous about his year coming in, but he looked well.
He got targeted a good amount of times, too.
And he looks like he has more confidence. I think that was the issue with him dropping balls. And I think this year he showed a little more fight in him because I felt like he's a little soft. And this year
he got in that scrap with Jerome Lane and Lane got ejected.
Yeah. And I love seeing that because he was a little kind of like, get off me. No, no. And now this year he showed that grit. And I like that.
Yeah. Just a couple observations for me before we move on to the Sunday night game. So Chris Carson led the Seattle backfield with six carries for 39. He did have a 30-yard run, so there's a little bit of
led it with six carries. Wow.
Yeah. He did have one target as well in the passing game. Procise went 4 for 11. This is another backfield that if you can get CJ Procise on the low, I definitely recommend doing that. And I know Tyler does too. Eddie Lacy was six snaps total in this game.
Six snacks?
Six snacks, yes. He had some Butterfingers. He had some Snickers. He had some animal cookies and some fruit snacks. I'm just trying to go through my pantry with what my son likes to eat.
I feel like that's why Marshawn wasn't on goal line work because Eddie Lacy was trying to steal Skittles from Green Bay.
Yes.
All the way in Tennessee.
Eddie Lacy's
like, not a good time to be an Eddie Lacy truther. This does not look good. You know, Chris Carson was able to get 39 yards out of six carries. Lacy got 3 out of 5.
Do we think Eddie Lacy's even on this team in a month?
No, he's
not if he's playing like that. There's no room. I mean, there's too many running backs. They're trying to figure out. Yeah, there's no room. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've never been on Eddie Lacy. I don't know. He could be gone after if he keeps playing like this.
Yeah, and just one other quick notable, Amara Darbo, Michigan wide receiver, rookie for Seattle, almost potentially had a beautiful catch, but he ended up just bobbling it at the end. So it was nice to see him get some a little bit of usage in a critical situation for Seattle. So that's obviously a situation to monitor. He's probably available in all your dynasty leagues unless you're in a really deep league. I like Darbo quite a bit. He tested a lot better at the combine than I thought he would. He's got really strong hands. He had a good Senior Bowl. So that's definitely a name to keep an eye on your deep dynasty drafts.
Or not Richardson drafts, tied for targets for the team lead targets as well with 7.
Yeah, and that kid catches everything. He's like a vacuum. Mm-hmm. So I like Paul Richardson. Yes. So let's get to the last game of the night, and that was the New York Giants, who absolutely took a big old turd in Jerry Land to the Cowboys.
Eli Manning, that turd.
Oh, big, huge, steaming pile of turd.
I want to know what his face looks like right now.
You already
he probably has no idea where he's at.
he's terrible. I mean, OBJ is like holding him together. You know, he's done, man. He just looks awful. If OBJ comes back and all that,
might be done too. I'm gonna say it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty rough. I mean, they really need OBJ to open up this offense and to salvage like whatever they can out of Eli Manning, because honestly, he looks atrocious.
It was bad. They only ran the ball 12 times. It was ugly. Shane Vereen, it was check down city. Vereen had 9 receptions. So if you played him in DraftKings or DFS, congrats. He had 10 targets. Outside of that, Sterling Shepard had 7. Brendan Marshall caught 1 ball for 10 yards on 4 targets. Absolutely atrocious performance from the New York Giants.
Can I just throw some out? Do you think the Giants sign a player like Ryan Matthews?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you're depending on Paul Perkins.
Oh, he was terrible too.
Oh God, like, do you guys think they maybe give? I hate saying his name. I don't even want to say it. You guys know who I'm talking about.
Oh my gosh, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Really, guy from Clemson. No. I don't want to say his name.
Not. Does it rhyme with Gain Wallman?
Yes.
I mean, good grief. I mean, this offense is just all about like the little. I mean, Shane Vereen had 9 catches, 10 targets. I mean, that's like all they have is these little short passes. It was terrible to watch.
That's all Eli can make.
It's terrible. I just can't stand watching it. The only thing they had with, if OBJ comes in, it kind of opens up everything. Evan Ingram looks pretty good. So they have a little future there. But man, other than that, it's just going to be these four yard checkdowns to Shane Vereen.
Ugly. So let's talk about the Cowboys a little bit. Dak Prescott played a lot better than I thought he would in this one because he struggled against the Giants last year. But he had almost 300 yards. He had a touchdown. He had 24 rushing yards. Zeke was pretty much Zeke in this one, but I was really happy to see him get more usage in the passing game. He had 5 receptions for 36 yards on 5 targets and had a 30-yard reception. So Zeke is getting more into that Lev Bell and DJ mold of catching some passes too. So I love seeing that. And then outside of that, you know, Bryce Butler had a nice catch. Dez Bryant, I wouldn't say he struggled really against Janoris Jenkins. They really tried to feed Dez in the red zone.
9 targets and he caught 2. So that, I would say that's struggling.
Janoris Jenkins has got his number, man. There was a spot he was open in the end zone and stuff like that. Like he wasn't terrible or anything, but Jenkins is just a tough corner.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jenkins did a good job on him. I mean, but other than that, I mean, Dez looked, the important thing with Dez is he looked healthy. He looked fast. I think it's Pro Football Focus's number one hardest schedule against cornerbacks this year.
That's terrible.
It is, yeah. But I don't know. I still believe in Dez, so maybe I'm a fool.
There's one thing I love seeing, and it's Jalen Smith played his first real game in the NFL.
He looked good.
Love seeing that. God, if he can return the form, the Cowboys are going to have probably one of the best linebackers in the NFL from a talent standpoint. I loved him in Notre Dame. He's probably one of my favorite players to ever play at Notre Dame. Just fun to watch, and I hope he can return to form.
Yeah, if you play Dynasty IDP, Jalen Smith is someone that you should target, as well as B.J. Goodson on the New York Giants side. 18 total tackles and 14 solos led the NFL so far.
Yeah, he's a guy. What was it? Was it Syracuse or Clemson?
I actually want to say
Clemson.
Well, that's exactly why. Like, I mean, they were on the field so much. That's why he got so many tackles. That's how terrible he was. Did. That's why the Giants defense wore down. Man, it's like they couldn't get off the field. Eli was just, you know, 3 and out every single time.
Yeah, and I think that those tackle numbers are a lot to do with Elliott up the middle on the field a lot, and B.J. Goodson's one first and second down linebacker, so he's going to get those tackles.
Absolutely. So that's going to wrap up our game review so far for what we've seen on this Sunday. I hope you enjoyed our observations and what we looked for, what we saw, and some of the trends that we saw with some of the players, which was always fun. So thank you, Tyler and Joe, for your observations on that. So we do want to remind you that the Dynasty Happy Hour has been brought to you by the Sit or Start Fantasy app, which is available on the Google Play Store as well as iTunes. There's 2 more games on Monday night. We've got Minnesota versus New Orleans, and we also have Denver versus the LA Chargers. So if you've got some guys, maybe you benched OBJ, and you've got Adam Thielen, and you've got a Ted Ginn, well, you can punch both of those guys in the Sit or Start app, and it's going to go through their algorithms and tell you who is going to be the best player to start on your team this week. And they were right almost 70%, 69% of the time last year on over 100,000 player comparisons. And the Sit or Start app is a lot more than just a player comparison. Now they have push notifications on your favorite players and teams. They have statistics. They have a little bit of everything. You can find the network of podcasts, which includes the Dynasty Happy Hour. So you can find us on that, as well as the Trophy Time podcast from TFF Gurus. There's also the Dynasty Tilt, or the Fantasy Tilt. It's not Dynasty Tilt. God damn it. I apologize.
It's all right.
It is the number one podcast with the title of Tilt in it, though. Just remember that.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say. So that is your go-to Tilt podcast is also found in the app or on the website at sitterstart.net. And when you do sign up for that, make sure you use code DHH and let them know what you heard about it so we can get some props from them. And Jason, who is a one-man gang, absolute beast, and bringing new things to this app every single week. So that is SitterStart app on sitterstart.net, Google Play, and the iTunes Store. So thank you for those guys for sponsoring us this week. So with that said, we are going to wrap it up. I am your host, Doug Eddy. You can find me on Twitter at DaFantasyFather. You can find Joe at Paino. That's P-A-E-N-O. And Tyler, where can we find you?
You find me at DHH underscore Tyler. Don't forget, if you still want to play some DFS Monday night games, go to playdraft.com/DHH and you can get $10 if you put $10 in still. So go do that. And thanks for listening. Until next time, draft, trade, win, and repeat.
That's all the time we have for you today for the Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. You can find Tyler at DHH underscore Tyler. Follow Doug at DaFantasyFather. And finally, Joe at Paino, P-A-E-N-O. Check out rankings, articles, and more at DynastyHappyHour.com. Or follow us on Twitter at DynastyHHPod. Music is brought to you by the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour podcast network.